Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
As I examine the Mosaic Law in the Old Testament, I find that they had frequent feasts and festivals. These festivals were to remind them of their significant relationship to God, Jehovah, their Redeemer. The New Testament holds fewer festivals. In fact, we ordinarily consider only one, which we call the Lord's Supper. In a real sense, this is not a festival. It is an observance. We repeat the Lord's Supper on occasion. Some congregations observe it every Sunday. Some observe it the first Sunday of the month. Some less frequently. I affirm that the frequency is not as important as how the observance is conducted. To me personally, the Lord's Supper is a sacred and solemn experience. In a very real sense, we enter into the agony, as it were, of Jesus on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17-34, Paul instructs us about the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. So open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 11, 17-34. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, that is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever therefore shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. As I examine these verses, I find that Paul set forth several definite guidelines we should follow for the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. The first guideline is, reprimand the unruly. Apparently, the church in Corinth had some very deep problems. Their gatherings, Paul said, were not for the better, but for the worse. They had divisions, cliques. Yet the divisions revealed who was genuine and who was not genuine. They had what you might call carry-in dinners. They were not the Lord's Supper. Somehow they got confused. Their conduct was improper. The apostle had to instruct them that the Lord's Supper is not an ordinary meal. Oh, I think that is so important, so very important. The assembly of the church is not for rowdiness. When the church gets together for the Lord's Supper, it is a very solemn occasion. It is to be a sacred moment. One of the prophets said, it is in order to be still and know that I am God. There should be a quiet reverence in the assembly, particularly when we come to the Lord's Supper. So then our first guideline deals with the unruly. Reprimand them. Set them in order. The second guideline is, remember the Lord's death. Here we come to the heart of the matter. Paul says his understanding came from Jesus. He said that he received this directly from the Lord. Here are his exact words. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now I understand this to mean that the Apostle Paul had some communication with Jesus. It was not hearsay with him. He did not receive it from any of the apostles. On the other hand, his only recorded meeting with Jesus was on the road to Damascus. Yet he said he spent 3 years away from Damascus in Arabia. I wonder, could that be where Jesus met him? He said at another place about his apostleship that he did not receive it from men. He received it from the Lord. He claimed direct revelation. His understanding of the Lord's Supper came from Jesus, he said. Then Paul gives the order and meaning of the Lord's Supper. The time of its institution is clearly identified. He said, the same night in which he was betrayed. So he makes it very clear that this was before Jesus' crucifixion, and in anticipation of it, we can say. So he took unleavened bread and broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a horrible situation. It was the breaking of his body, so to speak. Jesus said, this bread symbolizes my broken body which is broken for you. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. The apostle goes on to say, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The cup is a symbol of the blood of Jesus shed for us. He said, it is the New Testament. The Greek word testament is often translated covenant. This is the new covenant. A testament is a document that people draw up and sign and seal. But a covenant is what God sets up. This is the new covenant. Remember, the Sinai covenant in the Old Testament was sealed with blood. So then the new covenant is sealed also with blood. The Sinai covenant was sealed with the blood of an animal. The new covenant is sealed with the blood of Jesus. As oft as you drink this cup, you commemorate the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. Then Paul identifies its frequency. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 26. Every time it is observed, the participant looks two ways, back to Jesus' death and forward to his coming. The Lord's words, in remembrance of me, keep before us a real meaning of his death. This do in remembrance of me. Our second guideline is to remember the Lord's death. Our third guideline is, rebuke the unworthy. Now the Apostle Paul gets right home. Let it be a self-examination before you present yourself to take the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself, not somebody else, himself. This is an internal review, not a self-esteem, but an internal review, I say. We're all unworthy before the Lord as far as that goes. We must do like the publican did in the temple that Jesus told about. He smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, there is unworthiness in all of us. So self-examination is important. Self-condemnation can come if one eats the Lord's Supper unworthily. It desecrates the Lord's body. Not discerning, he says, the Lord's body. In other words, there is a defiling of the Lord's body. The uniqueness of the Lord's Supper requires us to think very seriously and internally when we approach that supper. Self-judgment avoids divine judgment. If we judge ourselves, then we should not be judged, the apostle says. The Lord's chastening is an escape route from condemnation. Every Christian has the chastening of the Lord. The apostle says in another place that if we do not have a chastening of the Lord, then we're not true children of God. We are illegitimate children. Then the apostle speaks about self-control. We do not come with a rowdy spirit. We must provide a proper situation for the Lord's Supper. No one in himself is worthy. Our worthiness comes by the shed blood of Jesus. Yes, amen. So we stand before him at the Lord's table, washed in the precious blood of Christ, as the Scripture teaches us. Our third guideline is rebuke the unworthy. Therefore, friend, to observe the Lord's Supper properly, we must follow Paul's guidelines. Reprimand the unruly. Come with propriety. Remember the Lord's death. Ponder its truth. Rebuke the unruly. Make a self-examination and then come. Come to the Lord's Supper properly examined. Now let us pray. O my Lord, our insufficiency and unworthiness has been exposed again in the presence of the Holy Book of God. Speak to our hearts, therefore, dear Lord, and help us to correct whatever needs correction, and bring whatever needs to be brought to the foot of the cross. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, what a blessed privilege we have to be partakers of the Lord's table. And what strong warnings we have to examine our lives and make sure we're walking in obedience to Jesus. Now, friend, perhaps you're a new believer, and you have questions about what you heard on today's program? Or maybe you don't understand what you heard today because the Bible is an unfamiliar book to you. In either case, if you have questions, write to us. We'd be glad for the opportunity to answer your questions using God's Word as the basis for the answers. Here's our mailing address. It's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your letter by email. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now be sure to join us next week. We'll be back with a message of hope as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.